Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for the first midweek in Lent comes from our epistle reading of Romans. The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. In the name of Jesus. Throughout the entirety of his epistle to the Romans, Paul distinguishes between the two different types of righteousness. For those of you who are attending Bible study on Sunday mornings, you're already familiar with what Paul is talking about. But even if you aren't in attendance, the good Lutheran should hopefully be aware of this. Hopefully because his catechesis was pretty good, or at least decent. And he's familiar with what's being talked about. In fact, as we learned about last week on Ash Wednesday, if the theme of Lent is from dust you came and to dust you shall return, then it is paramount that we do have a proper understanding of all that Paul is talking about. And it's also paramount to know that, as you can see from our text, it is actually a matter of life and death, of salvation and damnation. And so there always has been two different types of ways in which man can achieve righteousness. The first is through the law. And I know that sounds strange for the Lutheran to hear, because we've been conditioned to buck against this sort of statement whenever and wherever it's been heard. But the fact still remains that the law does actually promise righteousness. When God says, "Be perfect as I, the Lord your God, am perfect," not only is that a command, but with that command comes a promise as well. If perfection is achieved, then the assurance that follows is that you will be counted as righteous. So the word of God is near you. It is in your mouth. It is in your heart. It's in your heart because the law of God is written into the fabric of our being. Some might call that natural law. Others might call that the conscience. But whatever the case, the truth of the matter is that good and evil is written, at least in part, upon your heart. One does not have to be told that it is wrong to murder in order to know that taking the life of an innocent person is inherently evil. And yes, we may be able to push that conscience deep down inside, refuse to listen to it when it screams against us in the face of sin, but that does not negate the fact that our consciences, our hearts, still bear witness against us. This word of God, this law, it's also been placed upon your mouth, which means that you, sitting here in the pews today, God has brought his word near to you in such a way that it's a little bit different than the natural law. It's been revealed to you through preaching and through teaching. You've had it taught to you by your parents, Sunday school teachers. Hopefully, as parents, you're doing the same for your children. And you've had it preached to you from pulpits. And again, hopefully, you've had it read to yourselves in your own personal and maybe family devotions. The Ten Commandments, all that comes with that. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. Love your neighbors as yourself. That's a summary of the good and perfect law of God. That's been proclaimed to you. You know it well. And think of that time when the lawyer tries to put Jesus to the test by asking him, "What must I do to be saved?" And Jesus' only reply, at least to begin with, is what is written in the law. "Well, do this and you will live." Jesus isn't telling the young man something false. He's not lying. Do the work of the law and you will be counted as righteous. You will live. Eternal life will be yours. That's a promise from the law and one in which our Lord substantiates. The law is good. It's righteous. It's holy. It must be. It's from God. There's nothing evil in it. Nothing that's lacking within it. Therefore, it can, and it does, promise righteousness. The question that follows, though, is, of course, but who can attain to this righteousness? And that's why the season of Lent is an important season for us during and throughout the church year. For the sinner in us, just like that lawyer that was referenced earlier, will always try and justify himself when the law makes this claim. Because like it or not, whether it is the revealed word in our mouths or the natural law that's on our heart and our consciences, we all know that we've fallen short of perfection. And so for the only way for the law to then declare us righteous is if the law is made less than. But the law can never be made less than. The bar is never lowered. The expectation is never diminished. And so Lent is that perfect time for us to hear over and over again, if you transgressed one part of the law, you failed to keep all of it. It's an all or nothing situation. Some of us might have even gone so far during this Lenten season to refrain from certain activities or things, or to fast, dedicate ourselves in prayer and devotion. And that's all good. It's all fine. Bodily preparation has its benefits, but perhaps in regard to those things, the greatest benefit that it might have is when we actually fail to keep them. All these Lenten fasts that we do, that we've promised to ourselves and to our Lord, because then it does show us just how impossible it is for us to keep even a portion of the law. Which then, of course, leads us to the ultimate conclusion and promise of the law, because it does offer righteousness and eternal life to all who keep it. But it promises death and eternal damnation to all who fail to keep it, even one single part of it. And this leads us back to our Lenten theme: for dust we are, and to dust we shall return. The wages of sin is death. The power of sin is the law, a natural law that shows us the ugly truth. All of us see it when our broken bodies continue to break down until we die. And the revealed law has been brought to you through the preaching and teaching of the Word, and that tells you that not only do we deserve temporal punishment, but eternal punishment as well. And with that, then, with the understanding that the righteousness of the law is an impossible thing for us to grasp, the only question on all of our minds must be at the end of the day, then who can save me from this body of death? That's where the text for this evening comes in. It's also where our passion narrative comes into play as well, because in each of these places we do get to hear of the righteousness brought about and brought for, and brought to us, apart from the law. The Passion narrative, in which we'll be traveling through each and every single midweek, will show us where that righteousness is actually accomplished and won. And in the final week of Lent, the one right before Holy Week, Pastor Woolery will conclude our readings with Jesus crucified and dead and buried. And these 5 weeks give us a wonderful opportunity to do what we just sang about in our second communion hymn. It's still up there. That we sang a couple days ago. Jesus, I will ponder now on your cross and passion. That's the word that's come near you. That's in your mouth. That's in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. In hearing of the passion of Jesus Christ, the Christ, we are brought to faith, which grasps hold of the righteousness that comes apart from the law. For faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. And how are we to believe in Christ unless we've heard of him? And how are we to hear of him unless he is actually preached to us? And so, yes, there may be two kinds of righteousness, but the only righteousness that is truly available to you is the righteousness that comes from Christ apart from the law. For he's the only one who is able to claim the righteousness that comes from the law. And so the righteousness that you receive is Christ's righteousness, attributed to you free and clear for his perfect sake. This is what's proclaimed to you each and every single Sunday. This is what is continually preached into your ears, because I and you, all of us, need to constantly be reminded that righteousness from the law is nothing but a silly pipe dream. And I know, at times it may sound boring. It may sound mundane, as if we've heard the same thing over and over and over again. Christ crucified, Christ risen, but your Lord would have it in no other way. For unless you are constantly made aware that the law can offer the sinner no sort of salvation, then you cannot be brought to the faith which is able to confess that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. And it's all of it, is for your sake. For God knows that even through though his law promises righteousness, it only does so to those who aren't sinners. And since there are none who are without sin, all must be brought to the knowledge of salvation and righteousness that comes from Christ and him alone. And so this word will be near you, because your God desires that you are righteous on account of Christ. And it will be in your heart that you may believe and be justified. And it will be in your mouths that you might confess and be saved, just like Paul told us in our epistle reading. Lent is about echoing God's word back to him. First, that we are sinners, and second, that we are righteous in Christ. We speak these promises to each other, and we speak them back to God, knowing that we gather here these Lenten evenings and every single Sunday through and beyond Easter, not so that we can offer our righteousness to God, but so that he can give, and so that we may receive the righteousness of Christ apart from the law. That we may tonight, and each and every single day of our lives, hold fast to that promise that Paul speaks of. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And so you are. In the name of Jesus.